is coming, between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed we had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Rights that man is born with and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us. The protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, and whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper. We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country or whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Yes, we are, and welcome to the Shooting Bench on August the 6th, and it's a Monday. Boy, we have a great weekend. I hope you all did. I know AZ Bound had a good weekend. They had a fun trip down here and attended the meeting that Jeanette Finnicum and Senator Allen put on up there. Great time. There was a part of it there that I wasn't quite as excited about. Well, long story. But everything that Jeanette did and the everything about LaVoie and everything was absolutely awesome. And there was some other stuff there that I wish could have been turned loose to speak more freely, but there was a little bit of a conflict, so it had to be changed a little. So I won't get into that right now. What I will get into is the chat room and see if we have sound. So we're either, yeah, Tebow, thank you very much. Tebow's on top of it, always. Kilograms even joined us tonight, and M. Glock. And Nan is come dragging in here on time this time. That's good. All right, Cajun Meme. Who all do we have anyway? Hazy Bound and Cajun Mimi and Granny and Kilogram and Minnie and Nan and NM Glock and Northwest Heavy. Yakima Glock, Tebow. One anonymous there. I'm sure there'll be a few more drifting in here in a little bit. Okay. All right, this, I tell you what, this, some of you may have seen the advertisements, the promotions for Dead Man Talking. It's about LaVoie Finnicum, obviously. And, jeez, what a marvelous documentary that is. And that's only part one, episode one. They said that part two and three is going to blow this one away. So I can't wait till that second one comes out. Now, they're going to be in Tucson the 27th of September, I believe. I think it's a Thursday. They'll be down in Tucson. And I may make it down there again. If they're playing the second episode of that, you can bet your bottom dollar I'll be down there again and watch that. But all three episodes, the whole series, is supposed to be done and ready for distribution by the end of the year. Hopefully they'll be out in time for Christmas presents, because that will be about the best Christmas present that you can get for family and friends there. It was so to me anyway. I mean, I'm not an expert on choreography and how they put movies together and stuff, but to me, this thing was put together exceedingly well. The way they closed out one scene and went to another and some, it was just an excellent show. And there was people in there just bawling. I mean, there was people watching that thing that was just, you know, people couldn't hardly talk to, some of them couldn't hardly talk to Jeanette without crying. And rightfully so, because this documentary really, really pulled it out of you. It explained things well enough that you kind of were there, you know, that... the way it was presented, it was just like you were, you know, watching this as it happened. So, I mean, that's just, you know, like I said, I'm not a world-renowned movie critic or anything, so it may have sucked for anybody else, but I thought it was amazing. And you can bet that when that comes out, that I'll be purchasing, you know, I don't know how much it's going to cost, but I'll be buying more than one copy, I'm sure, and make sure my kids have each have a copy of it, and hopefully they can all understand it, for the value of it, and hold on to it, take care of them. All right, a lot of things happening in the news, and once again, if you are interested, if you're in Arizona especially, or, you know, Southern New Mexico, maybe Southern California, possibly, when this thing hits Tucson, you need to make it down there. You know, there's going to be some in Phoenix and Scottsdale too, but I'm not sure when that's going to be. I'm not sure if it's going to be in the same trip. We're going to try to get her back here again. And all it takes, if any of you want her to come to your area, she will come to any place in the United States. All she asks is that her travel expenses be covered and that she has an opportunity and a place to sell her books and stuff. She don't ask for any money. I mean, she'll get donations and stuff from people that watch it. But all she asks is that you cover her travel expenses. So that is damn sure a bargain. So, and she's been literally all over the United States, and she will continue to be all over the United States as long as people will have her and listen. And with this new film now, I can't help but think that there's a lot of people that have had her there before that will be striving to get her back because of this movie. And definitely it's worth it. Okay, a new study we saw here today. No, wait a minute, that's not a new study. Where is that? Ah, there we go. This is not good news, as so typically happens on the shooting bench. Here in the last month or so, we found in several states, like for you folks that live in Idaho and Washington, particularly northern Idaho, also Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona even. They're warning off-road riders, trail riders on bikes and four-wheelers and stuff. Somebody, environmentalist undoubtedly, they're putting up booby traps for riders out there. They're putting a strand of barbed wire about head high across trails, tying them off to trees. Now, it don't take a whole lot of imagination to figure out that this is not a good thing. Technical definition to that, if you run into one, is called bad. I don't know if any of you saw the movie. I'll have to try to look it up during the break. But anyway, there was a guy that did that to a motorcycle rider and sliced his head right off and went bouncing, rolling down the highway in his helmet. And the rest of the headless rider on the motorcycle just went on down the road for a little while and crashed. And he sent a message. I think it was well received. These not only can cause huge risk and be fatal to motorcycle riders, but also hikers, mountain bikers, and others enjoying the world outdoors. Not to mention, these devious setups can also harm hundreds of animals who run into them, causing much more damage than just the intended target. I don't really think there's that much danger to animals here, possibly a little bit, but you know, barbed wire fences and stuff have been up for animals for a couple hundred years. So, of course, if it's in a place where it's not normally there on a trail and the animal is running and runs into it, then yeah, they're going to get tore up, no doubt. Let's see. The American Motorcyclist Association, the AMA, they're issuing alerts to riders in areas where these incidents have occurred, but at the same time, riders everywhere should use due caution on the trails because they know, there are people out there that would do us harm. So this is just, they're showing a couple of these on here. One of them is a piece of cardboard with a whole bunch of, looks like probably 2-inch screws in it, laying down just barely covered in the trail. Here's a piece of barbed wire fairly tightly strung across the trail here, and looks like it's in Custer County, Idaho. 4 feet off the ground. So that would be, depending on what size the person motorcycle was, that'd be about shoulder high for the average rider, I guess. Something to be said here for windshields, I guess, on bikes. Never been a fan of those, but might not be a bad idea. Of course, it wouldn't really make a lot of difference if you hit one of these at 40 miles an hour or something like that. A windshield ain't going to do anything. So be sure and if you're out and about, don't just disable these things if you come across them. Be sure and let law enforcement know. Here's another one. Massachusetts found cables strung across trails at 4 different state parks. So we can assume possibly, that it may be environmentalist. We can also possibly assume that it was, terrorist, ISIS, the guys, I think some of these forest fires have been started by terrorists. A lot of little things like they're working on a psychological war here, psyops, and it's going to start working. It's not, I don't think it's soaked in yet, but as more of these little booby traps pop up around the country and more fire, the fires haven't really, I don't think that's really gotten too many people's attention. A lot of them started by lightning, a lot of them, man caused from campfires or whatever, and I don't think the other ones have really soaked in. But they have caught at least a couple of people, one of them here in Arizona, that intentionally set some of these fires. So, these things are going to, I think, they're going to escalate a little bit at a time, and they'll find more of these booby traps in more places around the country. And, this is another thing, horseback riders. you nice gentle jog trot down the trail. Hey, Copper just joined us. Welcome, Copper. I haven't seen you for a little while. Nice gentle jog trot down the trail there, and that could cut up horses' brisket, neck, shoulders pretty bad. So anyway, by the way, I didn't have any internet again tonight. I did. It was in and out. So what I did was something that I should have done before until I figure out what is going on here. I shut everything off on the computer and went to using my phone as a hotspot, and it seems to be working pretty well. Seems pretty good and strong right now. So until, of course, that's just going to wind up using up my data on my phone, but I guess the show must go on. Still haven't figured out what in the world is going on with my internet, but it's still goofy. Today it didn't rain. Yesterday it did. And we're grateful for it. Man, you ought to see it. It is green everywhere. We've got green stuff coming up far as the eye can see, every which direction around here. That's the funny thing about the high desert is it's dry, it's brown, the animals are dying. I mean, it's just as serious, as critical as you could possibly imagine anything in a movie. And then it rains, and 2 days later, animals are happy, and there's green stuff coming up. Give it a week, and we've got knee-high grass out here between Springerville and Sholo here. Actually, all over in northern Arizona. And, of course, about 60 miles north of us, there's a little pocket up there for some reason. It has not received the blessings of moisture that we have. But a lot of the state has, and it's green and nice everywhere. Let's see. Do we think fires were set to get financial aid to circumvent sanctuary laws? That's an interesting point there, Kilogram. It's a possibility. I don't know. Over the last 5 or 6 years, I will not rule out anything whatsoever. I have been so amazed and so surprised so many times by things that I thought would never happen, that I said would never happen. And it has. So we had quite a discussion on Facebook today. It was, I don't know if you saw where Hornady, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, I think it's pretty new. Hornady has said that they will not sell ammunition to law enforcement officers or agencies in New York because of their restrictive gun and ammunition magazine laws. And to me, hail Hornady. Good for you. Job well done. And then there's a guy that is a law enforcement officer out of Ohio. Been friends with him on Facebook for quite a while, and I don't know him personally. But I have been keeping up with him, and he is a staunch Second Amendment supporter. He has gotten in trouble. He's actually had the SWAT team from his own department sent to his house for things that he has said and done. So it's not like he's the average cop out there. I shouldn't say average. That's not true, because there's still, hopefully, still more good ones than there is bad ones. But he got on there and said, you would take away from the individual officer their right to protection and protect you. Okay, now, we kind of get into the old deal here. Gonzalez versus Castle Rock, or Castle Rock versus Gonzalez, I don't know which one it was, but where we found out in the Supreme Court that law enforcement has no obligation to protect us. And I'm okay with that. I'm very good with that. But the argument here for the law enforcement officer is we're boycotting, or someone boycotting states and agencies and stuff here, and taking away, neutering them, taking away their means to defend themselves and whatnot. So, you know, I got on there and I watched this go for quite a while, and I didn't say anything about it. And so I just go find it here and tell you the some of the guys were, you know, a couple of guys were kind of rude, and that's, you know, there's no reason to be rude, no reason to be a snot about it. You know, if you can't talk and be somewhat respectful and try to get along here a little bit and be able to have a discussion without name calling, then you need to just, you know, put on your big boy panties or put on your Pampers, one or the other, and go to your room. Let's see if I can find that here. I'm sure I can. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take. Okay, here it is. I've already told you about this guy and how much he's done for you know, the Second Amendment, you know, for liberty in his area there. I'm trying to find my response to this, if I can. Maybe it's right there. And maybe it's not. I wish I'd have been thinking about this. I'd have brought it up before. Before the show started. But I put this on here, you know, as, you know, Hornady just became my favorite new ammo manufacturer, and because they are boycotting the state, not me. I can't find my response here, but what I did find was, it took me a little while to find it, but I found my sign that I had up for a while at the shop, and it was on our website for quite a while. And hold on here, I may be getting closer. I am getting closer. I haven't found it yet, but I'm getting closer. A little bit. Let's see. Man, there's a lot of responses on this. I finally had to block one guy. Okay, here we go. I got it. Stop looking. I got it. Okay, and I told him, I said to a large degree, I agree with these guys that are opposing this guy, you know, pretty much 100%. And that being said, I said, I'm with you and I appreciate all that you've done. I support law enforcement as an institution. But, you know, I've donated thousands of dollars, and Tebow remembers this. Uh-oh, you know what? We got problems here. Stand by. I'm going to have to put on, it's break time anyway. I'm going to put on some music for you. I got coyotes and dogs going crazy out there, so stand by. I'll be back.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay. And it's time a few of them were recognized. Hello, Detroit auto worker, let me thank you for your time. Working 40-hour week for a living.
the nail for the one behind the counter, ringing up a sale for the one who fights the fire, the one who brings the mail, for everyone who works behind the scenes. You can see them every morning in the factories and the fields, in the city streets and the quiet country towns, working together like spokes inside a wheel. They keep this country turning around. Hello, Kansas, wheat field farmer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig up and down the road, for the one out in the warehouse bringing in the load, for the waitress, the mechanic, the policeman on patrol, for everyone who works behind the scenes. With a spirit you can't replace with no machine. Hello, America. Let me thank you for
we're gonna put it. Get down.
right. Did I ever tell you guys how much I love the 22 Magnum? I love the 22 Magnum. I really do. Yep. Another one bites the dust. But I'll tell you what I do. Well, let me finish this, and I'll remind me, and I'll talk to you about that 22 Magnum a little bit. Not about the cartridge. I think we beat that to death a few times, but a couple other things. Yeah. So let me see who I've got left. Did we lose anybody? No, we're still doing okay. Let's see. Where is it? There it is. Okay, we were talking about the Hornady boycotting the law enforcement agencies in New York. And I applaud what they're doing. I understand this cop's, he's a retired cop, actually. I understand his concerns being in the position that he's in. But, you know, and I've said many, many times that how much I support law enforcement. And I said, but you of all people, talking to him, the retired cop, have to know that rogue cops at every level are being encountered increasingly more frequently. I said, a normal, intelligent man cannot deny that. And I said, what has happened here because of this is, number one, it's helped escalate a feeling of distrust of law enforcement, and that's a no-brainer. And the other one is it has fostered an elevated understanding, or maybe a perception, a false understanding, possibly, of the concept of liberty. People are waking up now and saying, well, you know, because of this ruling in the Supreme Court, you know, the cops are not obligated to protect us. And, you know, they talk about protecting themselves. They talk about the Second Amendment and what it means, the constitutional rights, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this has become much more prevalent in the last 3 years. And even probably since Lavoie was killed, because I think that has opened up more eyes than any single factor in probably in the history of mankind. And this kind of stuff is a shock to people that have just stood on the sidelines and done nothing in their entire life to preserve liberty. The whole concept is kind of foreign to them. I said, I told him, I fully understand your concern for safety of your fellow officers, but surely you understand that no one is ever going to send them out on the streets unarmed. If they run out of ammo, if, you know, if other manufacturers' quantities of ammo diminish, there will always be some kind of option for them. They're not just going to say, well, you ain't got any guns or ammo or nothing. We're just going to send you out there anyway. Do your job. Here's a stick. Do it like they do in England. If other ammo manufacturers, possibly even gun manufacturers, get on board with more boycotts, and especially in more than one state, the hope is through this boycott that one of two things is going to happen, maybe a combination of the two. One is that individual officers will understand what's causing this. And they'll either, what's causing it is attacks on the Second Amendment. They'll either go on strike or they'll walk off the job, the ones that are not union, until the legislators come to their senses and fix this travesty that we have here attacking the Second Amendment. Or the legislators will figure it out all by themselves and try to fix it. I don't have a lot of hope for that happening, but it's always possible. And keeping doing the same thing over and over is just not getting us anywhere. But the last thing I said on there is one thing is for certain. There has always been and there will always be sacrifices in defense of liberty. Some very small. Small meaning, you know, I skipped a day of work to go to a rally, or some much larger, as in murdered by law enforcement on his lonely snowy road in Oregon. So the sign that we used to have, I got to thinking about it. I said, you know what, this would be a great time to put this up there. Let them know that Hornady's not the only one that has done this. This used to be on our website. It was up for God and everybody to see. And it was also a sign, when I put it on the website, I also made a sign and put it on the wall at the shop. This was in, well, let me just read the sign here. It says, effective immediately. The decision was made by Southwest Shooting Authority on 9 February 2013 to prohibit the sales of any item to governmental agencies or officers or agents thereof of any state, county, or municipality that does not allow its citizens to possess the same items. Put another way, if you don't trust your citizens to own certain weapons, magazines, and accessories, we don't trust you with them either. Our intent is not to stifle the effectiveness of the individual officer, but unfortunately, you are part of a machine that has taken a stand against the American people. You took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Many of the orders that you carry out are in direct conflict with the very nature of the oath that you took. Many of your superiors have decided that these items are for offensive purposes. Excuse us, but your agency was not developed for offensive purposes. You are not fighting a war. Every human being deserves and is in fact guaranteed the right to due process under the very law that you portend to enforce. Your job is to defend yourself against the criminal while in the process of bringing them to justice, not to judge them and execute them all at your discretion. Other agencies have stated that these items are for defensive purposes. Theirs, not ours. We at Southwest Shooting Authority have the utmost admiration and respect for law enforcement, first responders, firefighters, etc., but we must ask, why are your lives so much more important than ours? If you can have these weapons to protect yourself against a savage criminal element, why can we not have the same weapons to protect ourselves against the same element? For now, this policy only applies to local, county, and state entities that have thrown the American people under the bus. If the United States government passes a ban on any weapons or magazines or accessories, this policy will apply to every federal agency and agent in the United States. At Southwest Shooting Authority, we believe that the Constitution of the United States is a divinely inspired document and is second in importance only to God. So there you have it. That's my little story I put up there for everybody. So the let's get on here with a couple of other things. It's already a quarter till. Which one here? This is an interesting thing. This is pretty old. But I couldn't help but talk about it tonight. Big headlines. Unlawful gun owners commit 80% of gun crimes. Really? Imagine my surprise. I was absolutely astounded when I heard that. And I think that most of those crimes, probably well over 90%, are committed by criminals. That's my little informal study there. You can take it for what it's worth. Most perpetrators were carrying a gun that did not belong to them. 79%. They analyzed 762 cases in which a gun was recovered by the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police Firearms Tracking Unit. Well, they got their very own unit for tracking firearms. Isn't that cute? 79% carrying a gun that didn't belong to them. Story is quite a bit longer than that. Like I said, it's an old story, but it just popped up there, and I had to share it. All right, there's a great story here out of Florida, Titusville, Florida. Man licensed to carry a firearm took out a gunman at a school peace rally. This was a kind of a pre-whatever opening day of school or whatever. Day before opening day or whatever it was, the guy had opened fire, and where all these school kids was, and it doesn't say that this all started after this was a peace in the city event, supposed to be a day of fun, not violence. But this all changed when two people got in a fist fight. One of them left and went and got a firearm. And this guy come back and opened fire in the park. It was full of children. Evidently, he didn't hit anybody. But a bystander there, licensed to carry a firearm, drew his own weapon and shot him in the head. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you solve those problems. Concealed carry holder, shot him in the head. There was a yard full of people there, and probably the only safe shot was to make the headshot. So kudos to this concealed carry holder. Very nice. Good job. Nobody else, says nobody important was injured. And those children are important. Let's see. I guess that's all of that story there. There's another, this just reminds me of it, but it's not true. It said 41 African Americans murdered in one day in Chicago by more than likely illegal gun toters and other blacks. That's not true. There was 40-something people shot, but there wasn't that many people murdered. There was, I forgot what it was, but this weekend was exceptionally bad in Chicago. And never hear about that. You gotta subscribe to one of the, you know, it's not on Fox News every night. You know, first thing Monday morning, every news agency out there, especially Fox, but, you know, all of them, ought to have just a brief snippet on some of the most violent events that happened over the preceding weekend, every Monday morning or Monday evening or both. You know, 39 people shot in Chicago, 4 fatally, in the period of time from, Friday at 5 p.m. until Sunday at midnight or whatever the case may be. No, you don't hear about that. You have to go look for it. It's out there. The information is available and it is verifiable, but you have to hunt it down. Don't expect it to come to you. Let me go back here and look at the, Hilligram, yes, that's fact. More legal guns, less crime. That is fact. Matter of fact, if any of you have not read John Lott's book yet, I think the name of it is More Crime, More Guns, Less Crime. You need to check that out. That's a great book. A lot of good information. A lot of good stuff to use for ammunition when you're arguing with other people concerning gun rights and restrictions and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, let me go down here and hit the chat room real quick to see what's happening. Looks like everybody's playing nice. We have the best chat room, I think, on the internet. You know, once in a while we'll get 50 or 75 people in there, and depending on which show's on and what's happening, and sometimes there's only 6 or 8, but they're always respectful. We very rarely come up with any problem there. That's funny, Kilogram. Yeah. Tebow, that is right. 100% of the criminals stop committing crime once they're dead. Well, for the most part, but then they vote Democrat and it starts all over again. All right, let's hit another one here. Let's see. This is pretty cool. I still am at a complete loss as to why there are people out there, conservatives, that don't like Trump. I swear I just don't get it. And most of it is what they perceive might happen, not what has happened or what is happening. It's what he might do. And for the first time in history, and this is even reported by CNBC and several others, for the first time in history, never experienced before, there's more jobs in the United States than there are people out of work. But how racist is that? Damn Trump. Anyway. 6.7 million job openings and just 6.4 million available workers to fill them up. So we've got 0.3 million job openings out there with nobody to put in them. Second month in a row that this is happening. Something that has not happened ever before this year. Interesting stuff. Let's see. You know, and here's somebody right here. Now, I don't know if this woman was a Democrat or what. I'm assuming she's probably a Democrat. But she went nuts. There was a sticker on this car that said, "Trump, make America great again." And she starts ramming the car with her car. Drove into a car that had a Trump bumper sticker on it. The man she hit reportedly contacted the police department and recalled hearing a motorist behind him honking their car horn as he waited at a red light. According to the police report, the honking continued. By the time he reached another red light, the motorist started shouting at him. Fearing that the alleged honking and shouting was regarding a problem with his car, the man got out, at which point the man said he heard the other motorist shouting about his bumper sticker. She said, "You voted for Trump?" I said, "Yes." She called me a racist and said, "All you have to do is vote for Trump and you're a racist." What a bunch of frickin' retards. I do not get these people. I swear, it is so infantile of these idiots to come up with this. Said the man claimed that the woman then repositioned her vehicle and hit his car with hers. After this, the woman reportedly left the scene. "She bent my door. I had to lean back to avoid getting hit. She also hit the side of my car." Anyway, they caught her, I guess. Here's another one. "Trump supporters pelted by eggs and punches can sue San Jose cops after the attack." I won't even get into that one. Okay, how much time we got? We're just about there. So let's hit this one right here real quick. You know, this is the second such thing that was found in New Mexico. The last one was quite a few years ago. It was since I started doing my show, so had to have been less than 12 years ago. And there was the other one wasn't as bad as this one. It was a kind of a, what would you call them? Kind of a cult bunch of people. I don't remember who it was. It was down around Quemado, New Mexico, or Fence Lake, I think is where it was. Fence Lake, New Mexico, somewhere in that area. And they had a bunch of kids there and everything, and there was a little standoff for a little while. But here they found another one. This is in Amelia, New Mexico. And it said 11 children there had been found living in squalor. This is up around Taos, up in northern New Mexico, in a little makeshift compound right on the New Mexico-Colorado border. Kids are all in state custody now, and two men are facing charges. They have a picture of how they were living here. It's right out in the middle of a flat, nothing around, no protection, no trees, no mountains, no hills, no walls, no nothing. Back end of a U-Haul truck. I don't know if it's a U-Haul, but it's a box van of some kind. And there's nothing but trash and crap setting everywhere. And empty water bottles and Clorox bottles and stuff. Kind of a wall thing made out of pallets. So I don't know what the whole story is behind. It says the only food we saw were a few potatoes and a box of rice in the filthy trailer. What was the most surprising and heartbreaking was when the team located a total of 5 adults and 11 children that looked like third world country refugees, not only without food or fresh water, but with no shoes, personal hygiene, basically dirty rags for clothing. So I don't know what the whole story is. It's brand new. Says the kids' ages range from 1 to 15. 3 women, one of them pregnant, found with men and children inside the trailer. So I don't know exactly what was going on with these folks, but as we hear more about it, I'll share it with you. All right, well, we're just about there. Let me check the chat room. And, Kilogram, well, if you happen to see Obama, tell him, yeah, I think he does, actually. Yeah, it looks like Doc has kept up with. They were Muslims, and leader was a black Muslim. So, and you know, that kind of, I don't know if it reinforces what we talked about, the booby traps, but I think there could be a, you know, possibly a little correlation there, but you know, between roving bands of Muslims in remote areas, and they, you know, anything from starting fires to setting booby traps to, you know, whatever, you know, and getting away with it, and probably more than likely, you know, human traffickers on top of everything else. So, anyway. Kilogram's got a job for all you 0.3 million people there that can't find a job. You can go over and mow lawn, $15 an hour. I'll be right there, Kilogram. I'll come help you. Yeah, maybe not. All right, well, I've just about had all the fun I can stand here. Who all we got left in the chat room, anyway? Got a few more anonymous there. Who is new? Looks like Nan faded out and had to come back there. She's been in 36 minutes. We've been on longer than that. All right, anyway, I'm rambling. You know what happens when I start rambling? It's time to get the hell out of Dodge. So that's what's fixing to happen right now is we're going to get the hell out of Dodge. And I'll be back Wednesday. If I can't figure out my internet by then, we'll do it the same way we did tonight. It appears that it worked pretty well, pretty steadily. So we'll just do it again the same way. We'll make it happen one way or another. Okie doke. Good night, folks. Thanks for joining me again.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.